sugar, spice, and everything nice. These were the ingredients chosen to create
The Grace Curley Show. Radio, TV, print, Grace Curley does it all.
She sings, she dances, she acts.
I'm waiting by the door for my Pulitzer.
She sounds hideous.
She's just the worst.
Yeah, she's a wacko.
She is the devil. I'm in hell.
Now, here's the millennial with the mic.
She still leaves me both breathless and speechless.
I love her. I love her.
She is the best.
Somebody will ask you to say Grace.
Grace Curley.
Grace! Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. You know what time it is, whether it's standard time, daylight saving time, clock back, jump forward.
Shut up about the sun!
It's always a good time for the Grace Curley Show. I just tweeted, that was the most confusing hour of radio we've ever done, and one of my favorite hours we've ever done. I just had a blast. I'm still giggling. I'm still soaking in the sun from that last hour. We are going to move on here because I want to get to a few different major stories. To bring us into these stories, though, let me get a taste of the Joe Biden memoir. I didn't know this was a thing, that now we're creating teasers for books that are coming out. But give me a little bit of the former president, Joe Biden, Taylor.
I've written a book about my time as president. It's called Promise Me America. It's coming out in November, and it's available for pre-order now. It's about the challenges we face as a nation, about the decisions I made and why I made them. Leading the country through COVID, rebuilding our economy, and restoring our democracy after the attack on January 6th. Ending our nation's longest war in Afghanistan. Strengthening NATO.
Oh my God,
supporting
this is really,
Ukraine.
Wait, pause it. This is really bad. This is the one they went with?
That's why they had the subtitles.
And what's with the Succession music? This is like when Mamdani made that video in front of Ken Griffin's apartment in New York City, that creepy music in the background.
It's like House of Cards.
Yeah, it's very looming, like something bad is happening. Oh,
something
Harbinger
bad is
doom.
Happening, Grace.
Something bad is happening. This book is coming out. I like how he says you can pre-order it now, because the pre-orders are what get you on the New York Times bestseller list, and Jill got on the list, but a lot of people were suspicious because, well, not even suspicious, people knew what she was up to, because the New York Times puts this like cross next to people who have a high amount of orders, like bulk orders that come in, and really they're buying their way onto the list. That's the New York Times way of acknowledging that, hey, you know, there was all these bulk orders made, and typically I think what happens, definitely happens in the case of a lot of like social media influencers and celebrities, is they buy a lot of their own books, and so they can say they're a New York Times bestseller and kind of run the rest of the promotion off of that. So he's trying to do the same thing with the pre-order. I'm sure he'll have the little dagger next to his name, and he's concerned. But I just want to say, is he gonna talk, like, if you're gonna talk about all the things you did, are you gonna talk about the millions of illegal aliens you let into this country and all of the ramifications, all of the horrible consequences of that, that are still unfolding day by day? Are you going to talk about that at all? He has the balls to mention Afghanistan. That's something, Taylor. That is something. Maybe that's just like old age now. He's like, I don't care. I don't care. He's never had shame, really. That's never been something that
Chapter 13, the most historic airlift in history.
Yeah. Let's rewind the clock here. I'm going to tell you about the time that everyone watched the worst withdrawal in history. It was embarrassing. It was shameful. But you have to have shame for something to be shameful. And he clearly does not have that. Okay, he's got a lot of ice cream. He's got a lot of time on his hands. He's got a lot of books to sell. But he doesn't have shame. I wanted to talk about illegal immigration because, like I said, it's amazing how much damage Biden was able to do by opening up our borders to millions of illegal immigrants. And one of those stories, and we get one of these almost daily, but the illegal immigrant trucker who killed three in a horrific Southern California crash has received his slap on the wrist. This is from the New York Post. It says that this accident happened on the Southern California freeway, and he has been sentenced to less than 5 years in prison. So this incident happened in October of 2025. Jashan Preet Singh, an Indian migrant who entered the U.S. under the Biden administration, smashed into seven other vehicles on the 10 freeway in Ontario in October 2025. He pleaded guilty to three counts of felony vehicular manslaughter with gross negligence for the crime last week, and he faced up to 10 years in prison, but was sentenced Tuesday to 4 years and 8 months. So that's an update for you. And closer to home here, we have talked over the last week or two about this horrible, horrible story that involved a wrong way driver and the Pennsylvania state trooper. I have two here. Well, let me start with this one because this is the Massachusetts State Police cruiser. It says a wrong-way driver consumed 10 alcoholic drinks at North Shore restaurants and misjudged a jug handle on Route 1 before his vehicle crashed head-on into a Massachusetts State Police cruiser, killing Trooper Kevin Traynor, according to a report released Wednesday. So different story than the one I was alluding to, but we'll get to that one too in a second. Traynor was traveling home from work on May 6th on Route 1 North when his cruiser was struck just after 2 a.m., by a wrong-way driver who was traveling south in a northbound lane near the Saugus-Linfield line. Traynor, who worked out of the Danvers barracks, was taken to Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston, where he was later pronounced dead. The wrong-way driver, Hanan Marrero, died in the crash. The Essex County District Attorney's Office concluded its investigation into the fatal crash and released a report that details Marrero's actions and the hours leading up to the collision. He was having a drink at a restaurant in Waltham and then traveled to Tribu Mexican Kitchen and Bar on Route 1 in Saugus, where he consumed 9 alcoholic drinks between the hours of 9:20 p.m. and 12:53 a.m. He left the parking lot and headed north on Route 1 for about 2.3 miles. Just after 1 a.m., his Jeep entered the Route 1 jug handle in Peabody, which enables drivers to reverse direction onto Route 1 South. Signs on both sides of the road direct motorists not to enter Route 1 North from the jug handle. MassDOT traffic camera footage shows the Jeep entering the jug handle, graze a guardrail on the right, run a red light, take too sharp of a left turn, and re-enter the northbound lane, traveling southbound. And one other story that I wanted to get to today. This is a really strange one, Taylor. Have you heard about the Canadian woman who slapped the teenager on the Jersey Shore?
I've seen some of the headlines, yes.
Yeah, well, it hasn't turned out for her, I think, the way she had hoped. So there's a twist here. This is the New York Post. It says the Canadian woman who slapped a teenager at the Jersey Shore because she didn't like the girls' MAGA clothing was arrested by ICE and brought to Delaney
Hall. Dear Canada, you.
It's always weird to me when people, and I'll give you an example, okay? I have an editor from Spectator. He's a British guy. And what I like about talking to him is because he's not from here, he reacts to our political news or our political figures with a level of separation, Taylor, that I think is warranted. Like, he doesn't take it so serious. He doesn't get so fought up about things because it's not his politics, you know? And I guess you could argue, well, Trump's the leader of the free world, so he affects everyone. But there's something weird about when people aren't even from the United States and they're so Trump deranged. It's like, why don't you worry about your own game? There's plenty there to keep you busy, okay? That's a little hockey reference for our neighbors to the north. Worry about your own stuff. You don't think you guys got enough issues? You're obsessed with MAGA? You come to the Jersey Shore, one of the most American places in the United States. America, home to Snooki and beautiful beaches and fried pickles. And you're going to slap someone for wearing something you don't like?
You stalk my whole life on the boardwalk.
You stalk my whole life on the boardwalk. Don't get me started on Jersey Shore. I don't go to Canada and see someone with like a I love Trudeau shirt and slap them across the face.
They should be, but we don't.
But it's not my duty in this life, you know, Taylor? Like, you got to know your lanes. You got to stay in your lanes. It says this woman was brought to Delaney Hall in Newark, the very immigration detention center her lefty husband has railed about on social media. Caitlin E. Tracy was taken into custody after she filmed herself, of course, confronting two girls wearing patriotic colored sweatpants over 4th of July weekend at Point Pleasant, one of whom she struck across the face and body. Her husband revealed on TikTok Tuesday, can we find these TikToks, Taylor, that she had been taken to Delaney Hall in a video he said he recorded with the purpose of getting her released from ICE custody, even if that means back to Canada. Even if that means back to Canada. Yeah, I hope it means back to Canada. Tracy was arrested on Monday and charged with endangering the welfare of a child, simple assault, harassment, and obstruction. Look, we don't need you here. We're not looking for more of this. And by the way, this is a white lady. And one of the criticisms that often comes for ICE is like, oh, they're going after brown people. They would never go after, they like the, if you're an illegal immigrant and you're white, you get a pass. No, you don't. We don't want derelicts from Ireland. We don't want derelicts or crazy women slapping people on the boardwalk from Canada. We don't want it.
My business, I'm around a lot of women. That one ain't getting laid.
Tracy was arrested on Monday and charged with endangering. Okay, so it says the couple has been living in Asbury Park since she entered the U.S. with a Canadian passport in 2024. Goodbye. Hey, what do they say in Canada, Taylor? Hey, how a boot you go home. How a boot we send you back. Enjoy the syrup. Enjoy the hockey. Send my love to Trudeau and to Katy Perry and get the hell out of here. Okay? If somebody's clothing drives you to the point of a physical confrontation, then the clothing you should be wearing is a straitjacket. They throw the net over her and send her back. It wasn't his first video about the now infamous detainee facility, which became the site of angry protests, because he's also posted about it before. The video opens with him sitting under the words, peaceful protesters literally standing in their designated First Amendment zone, looking confused and scratching his head. And now he's, I'm sure they're all upset. But Taylor, here's what I don't get. It says MAGA attire, but then in the story it says patriotic colored sweatpants. Is that now considered MAGA attire? Like anything red, white, and blue? Because if that's the case...
As Sonny Hostin.
If that's the case, then good on us. Like, if Trump has managed to break these people so much that now we get to say that red, white, and blue is just ours, winning.
Hey, they co-opted the rainbow.
They did. You're right about that, Taylor. You're right, yeah. Well, what did Sonny Hostin say? I don't think we ever played that. She said that the American flag makes her nervous or sad or.
Yeah, I'll find it. But it was essentially the, I believe I have it here.
Sonny, who's also.
There are times when I walk into a community and I see American flags all over the community and I suddenly feel unsafe.
Meanwhile, her son is accused of trespassing violation in New York City, and she's defending him in court. She's going to be his legal counsel, I guess. It says, this is from TMZ, The View host Sonny Hostin writes passionate letter defending son Gabriel over alleged trespassing. But that the American flags make her feel unsafe. Okay, sure thing. Before I went to Perfect Smiles, I didn't realize how much my TMJ was affecting my daily life. Your jaw gets sore. You start to get headaches. You start to get frustrated. It starts to affect your sleep and what you can eat. And it's a pain. It's a pain to deal with. It's a physical pain. It also takes a mental toll. But I got really lucky because I went to Perfect Smiles to fix my crooked teeth. And I got Invisalign, and it's been amazing. I love my smile now. I'm so happy with it. But it also fixed my TMJ because it aligned my jaw correctly. It aligned my teeth, and it took care of my TMJ issues. But if you have TMJ issues, if you have chronic facial pain, if you have sleep apnea due to teeth grinding or ear pain, well, they have a solution for you because Dr. Tam at Perfect Smiles specializes in TMJ, and he has people coming, new patients coming from Vermont, from Maine, to find that relief, to find the relief that I found with Perfect Smiles. And so if you're dealing with jaw pain or if you are just interested in straightening out your teeth, you're interested in getting your teeth cleaned, you're interested in getting veneers, whatever you're dealing with, they can help you at Perfect Smiles. They are the best at what they do. There's no better group to handle your smile and to get you where you want to be. So visit them today at PerfectSmiles.com. That's PerfectSmiles.com, or call them at 603-595-6699. Change your smile, change your life. I didn't know a lot about this story, Taylor, and maybe it's just because July 4th, we were all, you know, having a good time. We didn't have time for the Trump deranged. I didn't really know all the details of this Jersey Shore slap. And that's usually on my radar because I love the Jersey Shore. My parents were just in the Jersey Shore last weekend. I'm going to have to do some more digging on this. This MAGA, this Trump deranged Canadian woman. Oh. What a descriptor. A Trump deranged woman from Canada. Not good. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on X at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
But I got to figure something out. I got to save her. I need help. I need you to figure out. I don't know. This just happened. I need help. I need my wife. I don't want her to get hurt. I don't want to see her get. I don't know what to do.
Oh my God! This is the American husband who's begging for help because his Canadian Trump deranged wife slapped a girl on the Jersey Shore on the boardwalk. Was it on the boardwalk, Taylor, or did I just make that up? Because that's what I think of when I think of the Jersey Shore.
No, it was on the boardwalk.
Okay, it was on the boardwalk. You stalk my life on the boardwalk. She slapped her because of her MAGA apparel. It was MAGA, I guess. It wasn't just the patriotic colored sweatpants. It was MAGA. Not that that's a reason to slap anyone. And now she's being detained and hopefully sent back to Canada. And her husband's in there. He's all upset about it. Well, maybe tell your honey. Maybe tell your better half. Wink, wink. I don't know who's better in this situation. Not to slap people. This is the part of it that blows my mind. It's like, how come people who are born and raised in this country are typically trying to follow the rules, you know, trying not to get, because they know the book's going to be thrown at them. And then people who are here from Canada, you're here with a passport, you're walking around cock of the walk slapping people, and you don't think that maybe that's a bad idea? I'm not saying you got to sing for your supper. I'm not saying you got to walk around with an American flag and saying, I love this country so much. It would be nice. It would be nice if people who were here actually liked the country, but I've learned to lower my standards. But how about not slapping people who love the president? How about not slapping people who love the American flag? Now that's too much to ask? Now you don't think that's going to get you deported? That's going to get you in Delaney Hall? And by the way, why does he think that she deserves special treatment? Because she's a white lady? She shouldn't be at Delaney Hall? And I know what he would say. Well, no one should be at Delaney Hall. Well, this is what happens. If you're here and you're going to be deported, they put you in a detainment center. And just because your Canadian wife is privileged and she's Caucasian and she has white privilege, as they like to say.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Doesn't mean she's not going to have to go through the same system as other people. Okay? Okay, Mr. Trying to work up your tears. Graham Platner had more success working up tears than that guy.
I don't know what to do. My wife is being detained by ICE.
Well, here's a tip. Here's a tip. You don't know what to do? I'm going to give you a tip real quick. You and your wife, first start by trying to behave yourselves. Here's a tip for your wife. Stop slapping people whose clothes you don't like. That will be tip number one. And then we'll go from there. You know, we do baby steps here at the Grace Curley Show. We'll start with the stop slapping people, and then we'll go from there. But everyone thinks that there's no consequences. And to this woman, this Canadian Trump deranged woman, first of all, no one's above the law. And second of all, na 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 na.
Bye-bye.
Bye. See ya. How about that?
The Grace Curley Show is on the air.
Permanent daylight savings time comes with serious health and safety concerns caused by even darker winter mornings. If this bill becomes law, winter mornings across the country are going to look very different. Millions of Americans will wake up during the winter months in complete darkness, with the sun not rising until long after people get up and travel to school or work or have to go about their days.
Yeah, that was Representative Scanlon from Pennsylvania, who opposes this Sunshine Protection Act that just passed the House. Whether or not, like I said, it's going to get picked up in the Senate is a different story. But the conversation around daylight saving time is a tale as old as time. And that brings us to our poll question, which is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. So just contact him at localsilvermint.com. Taylor, I've heard your case that you made, as convoluted as it was. I've heard the listeners.
I've swayed nobody. Big reveal.
L for you today. Yeah. You swayed me.
No, okay.
I think you swayed me. I think. You swayed me more than everybody else. Everybody else called in with an idea, and then halfway through, you could hear them losing steam and getting confused about their own.
If I can pick from only these three, my option is to have the earlier sunrises and earlier sunsets.
Oh, okay. Wait, no. Read me the poll question, and then I'm going to vote.
Today's poll question,
sway me,
which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is: do you support the House vote to make daylight saving time permanent? Yes, I want later sunsets all year round. No, I want earlier sunrises all year round. Or they should have left it as is, fall back, spring forward.
The first option.
62% say they want later sunsets. 24% say they should have left it as is. 14% say I want earlier sunrises all year round.
I am interested, though, and maybe like Media Research Center or, you know, MRC or one of these social media kind of hubs that keeps track of these things. I am curious how many of the people who are going to come out against this have previously been for it, but because of TDS, it's affecting their position on daylight saving. Because that is a real thing. Like, all of a sudden now I'm hearing from all these people who I don't think they felt this way a few years ago, but they've had these reversals. It's reminding me, what was the recent thing, Taylor, we were talking? Iran. Like, it's the same kind of thing. Everyone's, he's got to do something. He's chicken out. Taco. All these people are getting slaughtered in Iran. The second he does something, well, that's not what I would have done. And so this is reminding me of that when it comes to daylight saving. I think people are trying their best to disagree with Trump at all times, even if deep down they either support this or they don't even know what they're talking about, which I kind of fall into somewhere in the mix of those two. I wanted to switch gears here for a minute because there was an interesting story out of Arkansas, and I'm just going to read you a few of the details here, and it's going to bring us to a sound cut that should get people going. It should elicit some passionate responses. It says Arkansas students outperform national average after universal school choice expansion, the governor says. So the governor of Arkansas is Sarah Huckabee Sanders. We're all very familiar with her, and she is very proud to point to some results of the state's universal school choice program and really showcasing how students there are outperforming other students across the country and how they're getting higher test scores in both math and English. Now, one of the things that they are utilizing in Arkansas is that if you opt out of public schools, the Education Freedom Account is what it's called, is going to give families $8,000 for private school tuition or charter schools or homeschooling. So they're taking that money. If you opt out, if you say, I don't want my child in public school, they take that money and they say, well, you can use it for homeschooling, which a lot of people are choosing to do. I think that COVID actually really increased the number of parents who were interested in homeschooling, partially because they ended up doing a lot of homeschooling because of the school shutting down. But also, Taylor, I think COVID opened people's eyes to what their kids were being taught in school. You know, your kid's at the counter with the laptop open and you're going, wait, what are they teaching
right.
you? What kind of nonsense is this?
A lot
this?
Of the libs of TikTok stuff, too, what they're seeing in the school libraries, the required reading and everything. It's nonsense.
And so Sarah Huckabee Sanders said, in every single subject last year, we saw a 20% increase for our student performance. That's huge. If you look at what's happening, especially in cities across this country, and the national report card for a lot of places where people, a lot of these high school graduates can't even read. And now we have an increase in every subject, 20% in every subject for their performance. They're investing in education. This is Sarah Huckabee Sanders, where it matters, and it's paying off, and we're seeing a big difference. She said that under the program, eligible families receive roughly $8,000 per student each school year to help pay for private school tuition, charter schools, or homeschooling, while the state simultaneously increased funding for public schools and salaries for more than 12,000 educators. She said, we had about 50,000 kids that have participated in last year's school year and that have signed up for the upcoming year. So this Education Freedom Account program, it's not only in our, this is specific to Arkansas, but there's a lot of states, mostly red states, that are adopting this and saying we have to give parents other options if they don't feel that their child's needs are being met in the public school system. And the reason I'm even giving you all this information is because the next sound cut comes from two women. They're horrible. They're horrible. It's Jennifer Welch and her sidekick, the lady with the glasses. She never usually chimes in. These are the two blonde Trump deranged psychopaths. The lady with the big thick glasses typically doesn't have a lot to say.
Patriots, Patriots, they triots, black triots, brown triots.
Yeah, Jennifer Welch goes on CNN sometimes. She's the lady who said that if you voted for Trump, like, you shouldn't be able to go to a Mexican restaurant.
Tangles McTaco.
Yeah. She goes on rants all the time. This is her sidekick, though. This is her partner in crime, who we're never usually playing cuts from because she's pretty much mute, like, all the time. No. She decided to open her mouth. Take a listen to what she had to say.
You would not believe how many people in Bible study homeschool their kids. And you just think, I worry about that. And then you see those witness booklets or whatever they're called that the Duggars use, and they're like top out at eighth grade. I mean, I just think homeschooling is a bad idea from soup to nuts. I don't care if you're a nuclear physicist. I think it's just weird as that you want your kids around you all day, every day, and all night. And just the socialization. For me personally, it was that I would have gotten up on my hands and knees and strapped them to my back and crawled to get them to school every day, just to get them where I wasn't. So I don't trust somebody that wants to be with their kids 24/7. I think a lot of dumb people do it because it's just easier. And that's a concern. And I've had divorce cases that, like, mom's mad at dad. They're fighting over whose school district the kid's going to use their address. They put him on homeschool. It's like 2 or 3 hours a day at the computer. And then the kid's going just off to the races. So I just can't think of very many good things about homeschooling.
Wow. Where to start with that?
Right.
Incredible.
First of all,
statement.
Very surprised she goes to Bible study. And still has such a dim view of her own religion.
I don't think she does. I'm calling a challenge flag on that. Just the way she just spoke right there, I'm challenging that. But Taylor, there's a few layers to this. The first one is she's questioning the standard of education that these kids are getting. She's questioning, you know, whether or not academically they are being challenged and they are learning enough. That's number one, which we're going to talk about. But the second part, which I actually find more telling about this woman and kind of exposes more of who she is the whole, I don't want to be around my kids.
Right.
I would strap my kids to my back just in the way she phrased that. So they would be where I am not or something. It's like, wow. There's a hateful tone to that.
Yeah, tell me you hate your kids without telling me.
I'm used to these women telling me how much they hate me as, like, MAGA mom, you know, they hate me. But to hear this woman talk about how she hates her kids, like, maybe they don't discriminate. Maybe they just hate everybody.
Well, I'm not going to say you'd hate your kids if you put them in public school. No, that's fine. If you want to carry on your career, whatever, that's what works for you and you have trust in the system, that's fine. But for me, I have a tough time leaving my kids with a stranger or a multitude of strangers for six, 8 hours a day, not knowing what they're being taught, not knowing what they're being shared by their, what materials are being shared with them by their peers in that school, what they're picking up, what bad habits, what behavioral habits they're learning, what they're learning that some kid saw on the internet, what kid is pulling out their smartphone and showing them a weird video that they shouldn't be seeing, what kind of books are they reading? I find that very objectionable, and I don't trust the public school system to teach my child the way I would want them to be taught. And I would challenge Angie Sullivan, I believe that's her name, to find me something in the Ten Commandments that is objectionable. What is it about the Christian tenets of faith that you find so deplorable that should not be taught to children, as opposed to subjecting them to the nonsense that the public school systems have been indoctrinating our children with? If any indoctrination is going to take place, it's going to be my indoctrination of my own children, what I believe, because I think I'm either a good person or on the path to being a good person, and I want to pass that on to my kids, and I will do that in the best way that I know how.
Well, I also think there's a lot of people who homeschool their kids who would challenge the idea that they're somehow behind when it comes to any of these subjects.
Absolutely not the case.
Yeah, and would, if we were going to do...
Just water it down, Grace. You have, I don't know what class sizes are up to, 25, 30 kids in some classes, and you're in that class for maybe, at the most, 90 minutes. I mean, even if you're in high school, you get a block period. It's an hour and a half. So you're getting one-on-one time, maybe only a couple of minutes in that class, whereas 2-3 hours at home, all of that attention is on you, and you're able to condense a large amount of learning into such a short period of time because you're getting that one-on-one feedback and instruction. Whereas in the public school, you're just another number, and you're left to your own devices sometimes.
Yeah, but the other part of it, Taylor, and you're making a lot of great points here.
I know. Thank you.
I can tell that you were homeschooled.
No, I wasn't.
I know. But the other part, when she says that thing about like not wanting to be around her kids, I don't know. And my kids are young, so maybe, and people will chime in like, wait till they're teenagers and they become terrors. But it's just, even if you feel that way, even if you feel like, I can't wait to get these kids out of here. I can't handle them, or like they drive me nuts. I just think there's something really weird about saying that on a podcast where your kids are eventually going to hear that, and it's really hurtful. Like when you really, and you might hear it and go, oh, you know, she's just being tongue-in-cheek, but it's like telling someone that you don't want to spend time with them, or telling someone that you don't enjoy their company when it's your own kids. That's a really strange thing to say, and let alone to say so proudly on a podcast. And I would argue that if you are a parent and you really don't enjoy being around your kids, like you really find your kids that detestable that you want them out, and you would be willing to strap them on your back and crawl to the school, that maybe you're not doing a great job at parenting your kids if they're so miserable to be around.
Right. You're being selfish. Parenthood is sacrifice, and sacrifice, there's all forms of sacrifice, and some of it comes in the form of sanity. Yeah, my kids sometimes annoy the hell out of me, but I would not want to send them off to a place where I have no idea what's going on, what they're learning, what they're being shown. I'd want them in an environment where they're being loved, where they're being instructed the best way we know how, and where we can supervise what they're doing on any devices if they have that route. Also, the argument against, one of the main arguments against homeschooling is the socialization aspect. My kids are the most social kids, extremely bright. Of course, I'm biased, but they're the most social children you will ever meet. They will say hello to anybody. I know your experience, Grace, is a bit different with my son. He just stares at you for some reason. It's weird. I'm sorry about that. But
Taylor's kids are lovely. They are lovely, and you can tell that they get a great education. You can tell that, you know, they have manners. They're very polite.
There are so many ways you can socialize. You can sign them up for baseball leagues. My daughter's going to be starting dance in the fall. She's going to meet people there. There are communities based on homeschooling in your community. If you look online, you'll find them where you can meet up with other parents. And yeah, you're going to have your pick of the litter as far as who's weird, who's more down to earth, who's a crunchy mom, and who's somewhere that's, you know, they're going out with their tinfoil hats and trash bags on their shoes. Yeah, maybe you want to stay away from those people, but you can design your own socialization schedule, and you're not forcing your children to, you know, share a classroom with somebody that's going to pick on them for being a little bit different, or, you know, if you have any worries about your kid, or maybe they're the bully. I don't know, but you have the control and how your child is raised and how they're learning, and I think that's just such a precious thing. Children lose their innocence way too quickly in today's culture, and my children are so oblivious to a lot of things in the world, and that's by design. I don't want them learning about sex. I don't want them learning about adult themes at this point in their lives. It's not for them.
Right.
Let them be kids.
Right. And you're absolutely right. There's nothing more depressing than when a kid loses that innocence, and especially if it's not necessary, which is what's happening, I think, all over the country. It's just we're inundating them with all this crap that they don't need to know and that they can't understand, and that just the only purpose it serves is to confuse them and to make them nervous, and, you know, to just, you know, indoctrinate children. And I agree with you. And also, I mean, look at the national report cards. Like, what are these women? Okay, so you have an issue with all this homeschooling, and as I just talked about in Arkansas, they're seeing 20% increases in success with these children in all subjects when they give the families $8,000 to spend either on charter schools, on private schools, or on homeschooling. But then where's the criticism for the public schools? Their proficiency rates here, their reading rates, their literacy, everything's in the toilet in many. Massachusetts is number one, and we have a lot of issues here in our public school system. So I find it rich that they're attacking moms. I think most of the time, Taylor, it's moms who are doing a lot of the homeschooling, not in every case, but that they're attacking those women and trying to vilify those women and call those women dumb who are trying to teach their kids to love this country and to learn history and to be able to read and write. And yet, when it comes to our public schools and these teachers' unions, they have no criticism for them. Those people can do no, Randy Weingarten can do no wrong. You know, they're heroes amongst us. It's backwards. It's so ignorant what she just said. And it reveals a lot more about her, not just as a person, but as a parent. As a parent than it does about people who homeschool their kids. We'll be right back.
Watch the show live. Rumble.com/TheGraceCurlyShow. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Here's a great text. Randy Weingarten is the biggest horse's ass I've ever seen. She's a huge grifter. I don't disagree. She's the one who couldn't get the Ukrainian flag right. She mixed it up and flipped it around. She's the one who called Martha McCallum sweetheart. And she's had so many public embarrassments where her own intelligence has been disputed, and yet she just keeps talking. I also wanted to say, because I loved what Taylor had to say about the homeschooling aspect, but one of the other parts of those comments from that woman, Angie Sullivan, that really bother me, that I see a lot of, is this attempt to normalize hating parenthood, or, you know, acting as though it's miserable and we're all miserable and this is what it's like and having kids is miserable. That's not how it's supposed to be. You're doing something wrong if you don't find joy in raising your kids and being present with them. Just a note to Angie. Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't miss it.
Dear Canada, you.